Okay, as they're arranging chairs, let me just introduce myself real quick. I know most of you, but those of you who haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name is Matt Laws. I am not a teenager. I haven't done a teen study for probably 8 years or so, but I do have teenagers. I have 4 children. I have Catherine, who's here, and now she is married to Jason Gaffney. And then I have 2 other children, Mary Christina and William Sergey. We have teenagers, and so I thought I would go ahead and volunteer for a teen study, and I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be a group participation study, so I may call upon you to participate. Scripture. I know we'll really pick on you, so. So we'll have lots of fun here. So to start with, we're going to go ahead and say a quick prayer, and then we'll go from there, okay? Dear God, Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to fellowship together today on this high day, at Sabbath day, in your Feast of Tabernacles, and we have a lot of young minds here and young at heart minds, and just allow the Holy Spirit to be with us here today, dear God, and teach everyone what they need to hear, and we just thank you and praise you and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So if any of you read the schedule, the title of today's Bible study is HOT. H-O-T. And with people that you hang out with at school and other friends that may not be of the faith, how many of you have used or heard the word hot when describing another individual, particularly of the opposite sex? I think that person is hot. Come on, raise your hands. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So we're going to talk about hot today, but in the appropriate term and definition of it. So it's good to know that most of you have heard that phrase, so I'm totally not out of date with terminology. So, HOT today stands for Holy, Outrageous, and Trustworthy. That's the acronym for today. Holy, Outrageous, and Trustworthy. So that's what we're going to focus on today. And we're going to take each one of those words one by one and see what thoughts come to mind for each of you. So, first one is holy is hot. Holy is hot. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 14. And who would like to volunteer to read this? Young gentleman with his hand raised. I don't know your name.
Scott.
Scott would like to read. Let's go for it, Scott.
Are we reading too?
I think just the one verse, yes, Acts 3, verse 14.
But you denied the Holy One. Wait, is everybody there?
No.
Yeah,
I'm there. I was going to take my time.
Are we there?
Yeah.
But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murder to be granted to you.
Okay. I'm going to read it in my version because it's NIV, and it says, you disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released. So who is the Holy and Righteous One that's being referred to in this scripture?
Jesus.
Jesus, right. So Jesus is holy, so he's going to be a good example for us to follow, do you think? So how did he demonstrate his holiness in a way that he lived his life? Who would like to answer that question? Who would like to take a stab at it? And I won't embarrass you, I promise. Go ahead.
Never lied.
Never lied. Good one. What else? What else, Beth? What else did Jesus do as a good example for us? And why was he a holy person?
He was a very good teacher. Teacher the Bible.
Never sinned. Numero uno. There's a good one. No, never sinned. But that all these answers are good. What else? Why was Jesus holy? And how did he demonstrate his holiness? He died for us. That's the best one. Okay? So it's over here. Somebody can help you there. I got a talk. I can't help you do that too. So, all right. So, Jesus is the holy and righteous one, as it's referred to. Okay. Let's go to. Come on in, guys.
Sorry, I'm a little late.
No problem. Great. There's some chairs in here, and there should be some room. So, make your way there. All right, let's go to 1 Peter. You got to move a little quicker. Let's go to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. Okay. Who would like to read 1 Peter 1, verse 16? Okay, go ahead, would you please?
But just as he who called you is holy, be holy. Sorry. So be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy.
So is that a suggestion or is that a command?
Command.
Okay, so let's read it again. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So we are commanded to be holy. How do we do that? Anybody want to take a crack at that?
Follow in his ways.
Say what?
Follow in his ways.
Okay. And just a few things or in everything?
Everything.
Okay. Any other ideas or thoughts? It's interesting, though, I don't know if you thought about it, but we're commanded to be holy. So, God's holiness, how do you think God's holiness should be connected to your holiness? And it's one and the same, is that what you said? And that is the correct answer. And how is it that we are holy? Is it things that we do ourselves?
It's things that he does through us.
I got a very smart class here. This is awesome. He does it through us. That is correct. That is outstanding. So, good stuff. Sticking on holy. Let's go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 21. Who would like to read this verse? Colossians 1, verse 21 and 22.
Colossians 1?
Now we'll have somebody else read.
I'll do it.
I'm saying, where is it?
Who would like to read? Okay, go ahead, Gracie.
Once you're alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation.
Very good. Let's read this one more time. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. How many of you actually believe you're holy? What does it say right there?
Commanded you to be holy.
Well, now, didn't you command you to be holy? What's it say? Right there, read verse 22. It says you are holy. It's kind of hard to make you think of that sometimes when you're misbehaving or acting up or doing something that you know you shouldn't do. But what's it say right there? But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free of accusation. So, how can you be holy at the same time when you're doing something wrong? Or shouldn't be doing.
Not kidding.
Ah. Anybody want to take a stab at that one? The problem, and this is Satan's biggest tool, if you guys don't remember anything, try to remember this. You guys are sanctified. It says so right here. You are made holy. When you sin, whatever it is, whatever the sin may be, whenever you sin, it's one of Satan's biggest tools is to make you feel like you're unworthy, that you're worse than the low of the low, and it makes give you a guilty conscience, which is a way of getting your attention. But what do you need to do to be reconciled back to Christ so that you can be holy again? Say what? Repent. Great. And then he says he forgets your sins, right?
Yep.
And forgives. He forgets them. Okay, he won't remember them anymore. So why are you remembering them?
Satan,
right. So let's stop. Remember, you guys are holy. Believe it. It says so right here. Okay? So that's the first part of HOT, H, which stands for?
Holy.
All right, let's move on to O. What does O stand for?
Outrageous.
Who's outrageous in here?
Me.
All right, that's what I like. I like a positive attitude. All right, let's talk about some adjectives that make a person outrageous. Who is outrageous? Tell me, give me some ideas of what an outrageous person is.
Crazy, funny, out of the ordinary.
Are we out of the ordinary from the world?
Yes,
we
That's
are.
That's what makes us special.
There you go. What else? Give me some other adjectives for outrageous, or definitions of outrageous. Forrest? Because you were sitting there. I could just tell.
Awkward?
That's not bad.
Reckless?
Ty? I wouldn't say reckless.
You like to do stuff?
That's a definition. There's some others?
Outgoing?
That's a good one. How about this? Let's see if any of these work. Remarkable? Okay. Exceptional,
outstanding,
extraordinary, special, unique, memorable,
outstanding,
wonderful, marvelous, striking, electrifying, noteworthy. Those are all good examples of outrageous. Do you like being around people who are outrageous? Yeah? Or do you like being around people that are kind of boring and drab and just kind of...
Outrageous people.
You like to be outrageous? You like both?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, what personality traits... Since we're talking about HOT here, and we started off with the world definition of HOT is, what personality traits make a guy or a girl attractive to you?
God number one in their life.
Really?
Say what?
God number one in their life.
God being number one in their life makes that person attractive to you. I like that. Okay. What makes a guy or a girl attractive to you? So let's go with one of the older guys back here. The guy that I initially called Dude when I first met him. He didn't have his name tag on, so Dude. And he forgot it today, so I get to do it. I told him I'd do it. So what makes a girl attractive to you?
Pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Now what if there's a pretty girl out in the world, and then there's a pretty girl that is a believer, which would you prefer to be around? Right. So what kind of attributes of the pretty girl or the girl that's a believer that you would look as a quality that you'd want to be around? Yes, while he's thinking.
I don't
that she puts God first.
Yeah. Ty?
Their personality.
Personality, yeah. Any of those things that we just talked about, you know, person that's remarkable, extraordinary, special, unique. Yes, Christina?
Nothing.
No? William's trying to stay out of my line of fire here. I'll ask him a question. Any other ideas? So, you want to be, these are things that you need to be asking yourself, okay? I'm not going to answer them for you because every person's is got their own likes and dislikes. But you guys should certainly think about what are the personality traits that make a guy or a girl attractive to you. And it's not just the visible attractiveness or the color of their hair or any of those things. When it's the other things that attract you as a person to that individual. So think about those things.
Someone who can make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Smile.
That's good.
Relatable.
I can do that. Super glue.
Wow, that's showing so much love right there.
That's very encouraging.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 10. Verses 8 through 10. Who would like to read that? Okay, would you please? I can't see her.
Sabrina,
would you please read?
Okay, 8 through 10.
Yes, please.
For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord.
Okay, I'm going to read my version of it just for a little clarification here. I'm reading out of the NIV. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Again, is that a suggestion or a command?
Command.
Okay, "For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." How do you guys go about finding out what pleases the Lord?
Bible, finding out what he likes.
Praying.
Those are two great ones.
Go to church.
Listening
to. And actually listen.
It'll actually listen to some people. Yep. Versus spending all your time on your smartphone.
No, I'm just thinking.
Okay. All right. Let's go to. Next couple of verses here, just jump down to verses 15 through 20, if you would. Ephesians 15 through 20. Who would like to read those verses?
I don't have a Bible yet.
Okay.
I don't mind.
Okay. Go for it again, please. Thanks.
All right. 15 through 20, sir?
Yes, please.
Be very careful then how you live, not in unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to
debauchery.
Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Couple of good key verses in here. One of the ones that I really like is verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish. All right? You guys are young people and you have minds and you're exploring things and every now and then you do crazy things. I'm okay with you guys doing crazy things. I'm okay with you having chair races with wheels down the middle of a hallway. I'm okay with that. All right, that's okay. Let's talk about foolish things, though. What kind of things would be foolish?
Doing backflips off the building.
Doing backflips off the building, but if it's not that high of a building and it lands in water, it might
putting
be okay.
Your head in front of a semi.
Say what?
Putting your head in front of a car.
Running. Disobeying.
Plain chicken looks more like plain chicken.
Now, we're talking foolish now. We know what sin is. Let's talk about foolish. Give me some foolish things.
When you play soccer, never do it flip, or you have a yellow card.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Playing chicken on the highway.
Playing chicken on a highway, that would be a foolish thing.
Like I did yesterday.
Spending a whole bunch of money at the mall.
Yeah, right. How many, this, hey, one person talking right now, please. How many of, this might be a sensitive subject for some of you, but how many of you people have been close to somebody your age that's died? Okay. None of you have had to experience that yet. How many of you do you have? Okay. That it doesn't matter who it is. It's just a lot of times people your age die because of foolish things. You go off and do something that you don't think things through. That's a foolish thing, whether it's driving a car and thinking you're invincible. You guys are made of, you know, skin and bone and flesh and blood, and you will die if you do something foolish. But there's other foolish things too, and a foolish thing can be as simple as not listening to your parents, not listening to wise elders. They can keep you out of trouble. Initially, I think my children thought I wasn't any fun. I think they think differently most of the time now. They think I'm a pretty fun guy. So, But there's a difference between having fun and being foolish. Don't be foolish. We want to see you all grow up to be productive Christian brothers and sisters, okay? All right. We've covered H. H stands for what?
Holy.
O stands for what?
Outrageous.
All right. We're going to T. What does T stand for?
Trustworthy.
All right. In your opinion, why is trust an important factor in friendship? Ty.
To make sure that you have good friends.
That's a good one. Why is trustworthy an important factor?
If you don't trust them, you're never going to want to spend time around them or do anything with them because you don't believe anything they do or say.
Yeah. Yes.
Friend is someone that you want to be able to rely on, and if they're not trustworthy, you're not going to ever rely on them.
I like that description. So you want to be
trusted.
Yes. So you want your friends to be trustworthy. So that means for you to have trustworthy friends, you need to be trustworthy. And I'm gonna pick on William here and give you a good example of William. He doesn't know I'm gonna talk about this. When William was over in the Ukraine, there was a gentleman by the name of Forrest, and Forrest used to bring. He wasn't this Forrest, he was a different Forrest. And Forrest used to bring all kinds of things on the weekend to where William went to school at. And he gave these things, and it was food things for the kids to eat. And he gave these food things to other kids to put in the kitchen. And invariably, if there was a dozen things, by the time that made it out an hour later, there was only eight of them. Somehow the other four things disappeared. So the person he gave it to wasn't trustworthy. He finally figured out very quickly the best person to give it to was William. Every time he gave it to William, whatever he gave to him, it always ended up all of the food ended up out there. Yeah. So William did a good job with that. So I'm telling you, Forrest told me that story, William. So yeah.
No, that's not true.
All right. How does the lack of trust hurt a friendship?
What?
How does the lack of trust, if you don't trust somebody, how does it hurt your friendship?
You can never leave anything with them because you worry they might steal it.
That could be that.
You can't tell them anything, otherwise they could go say it to someone else, and it could turn into a whole big thing.
Big story. Start a rumor, huh?
Yeah.
Spread gossip.
Trust is something that's earned. So once it's broken, they have to kind of earn it back.
A little bit.
And so then there's always going to be that tension there because you're always second guessing. It's like, I don't know if I could believe you.
Right.
And then they're also going to feel bad because you're having that judgment viewpoint on them all the time because of what they did in the past.
Yeah. Perfect. I like it. All right. Let's see what Jesus said. Let's have a look. Let's go to Luke 16, verse 10. You can look it up. Have Grace tell you. Luke 16, verse 10. All right, who would like to start there?
Yeah.
Gracie, you want to do it?
Just a
minute. No, hold on. Caitlin's up for it. I can see that.
It's verse 10.
Yes, verse 10, please.
Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much.
Okay. This verse is very, very important, not only for your friendships that you have, but later in life as well. I have a company, and I have quite a few people working for me. Do you think I have too many people working for me that I don't trust?
No.
So there's little things, you know, if we have stuff sitting out in the cafeteria and somebody helps themselves to it without asking or it wasn't theirs, do you think I might trust them in a bigger matter?
No.
Right. Being trustworthy in all matters is extremely important, and particularly at the friendship level, okay? So make sure that... How do you be trustworthy besides, you know, keeping things, you know... Not spreading rumors about your friends. What else are some things that? How do you go about being trustworthy? If you say you're going to do something, do you do it? You follow through.
Yeah.
I like that. So you've had a discussion about promises before. Your word is your bond. So when you say you're going to do something, you do it. Right. So, okay. So these are Jesus' words. These are nobody else's words. This is straight from your Savior. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. The little things matter, guys. In all that you do. All right, let's look at another verse. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10.
Corinthians chapter 1?
No, I don't think. What did I say? Did I say?
You said 4, verse 10.
4, verse 10. That's what I thought I said. You're messing with me. All right, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10. Here, why don't you read it?
Okay.
You want to read it? Go ahead. You see it?
Okay, yeah. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored.
Okay. I'll read it again here. We are fools for Christ. So if you want to be a fool, be a fool for Christ. All right? We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, but you are honored. We are dishonored. This is speaking about Christ and the difference between us. If you want to be a fool for Christ. It's okay to be different for Christ. Stand out. Don't worry about what other people think. Do the right thing.
Yeah.
Always. All right. The trick to being hot. Let's go see if we can find the answer here. What's the trick to doing all of these three things? Being holy, outrageous, and trustworthy. How do we do that? Because it's not easy, is it? We all fall short. Let's go to John 15, verse 5. Okay, John 15, verse 5. We're going to have somebody else read. You got your hand up all the time. We're going to have somebody else read. Ty, would you please read John 15, verse 5.
Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will protect much produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Okay, thank you. I'll read in my version of it here. It says, I am the vine. This is Christ speaking here, okay? I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
So, if you're going to be holy, outrageous, and trustworthy on a constant basis and never fail, are you going to be able to do it on your own?
No.
Okay. Because it says you can't do it right there.
Nobody's perfect. The one who's perfect is the one who's going to
right.
Kingdom right now.
Right. But can you be perfect?
No.
Yes.
I'm going to ask the question again. We're going to have to show of hands. Can you be perfect? Who thinks you can be perfect in this physical life on earth today? Raise your hand. I got two over here. Three, four, five. Okay. Six. All right. Who thinks you can't be perfect here on this earth today? All right.
No, I changed my mind.
All right. The correct answer is in and of yourself, you cannot be perfect. But if Christ is in you and you are connected to the vine and you stay connected to the vine, Christ is perfect. Hence, if you are a vessel of His, you can be made perfect. So the answer is yes, a physical life today. Now, we have the pleasure. I'm going to pick on my dad. He's right over here in the corner. He will be the first to tell you he's not perfect. And he is at the age of what now, Dad?
79.
He's 79 years old, and he still battles. But I dare say that the older individual that stays close to God probably sins a lot less than the rest of us. Would you think? That's probably the case.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there are people that walk and talk with God constantly and stay connected to the vine. And are they perfect?
No.
If they're connected with God, are they walking and talking? Are they sinning? Are they staying connected to the vine? The answer is yes.
No.
The problem happens is when we get disconnected from the vine, okay? All right, let's keep going here. We're not going to keep you too much longer. I think we just covered this, but I'm going to read what I've written down here. We cannot produce what God wants; only Christ in us can. So I think that's what we're trying to say here. That you all know yourselves well enough that you say now. I'm going to sin if it's left up to me. So we can't do it, but Christ in us we can, and Christ is perfect. We need to do as David did. Search me, O God, and who wants to repeat the verse? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. If you guys want to write down a verse or remember it and study it later, it's Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. So that was a constant prayer of David's. All right, we're going to wrap up with Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And this is a good prayer to start off your day with. Say that every day. It'll help you. Pray that every day.
It'll keep you hot.
All right. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to read 1 through 11 here. So, anybody want to volunteer that hasn't read yet? Catherine. Catherine, we're going to read 2 Peter 1, verse 1 through 11. So all 11 verses, if you would, please. Read loud, please.
Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge, or through the true knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For these qualities are yours and are increasing. They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you.
Thank you very much. All right, let's go over the seven attributes or qualities of Christian character. Virtue, which is another definition, is moral excellence or resolve. Knowledge, inspired understanding. Self-control, temperance or balance. Steadfastness, or as the words listed here, perseverance. Stick-to-itiveness, stay with it. It's difficult, I know. Sometimes you guys are busy, you need lots of sleep. But if you start your day off every day with a prayer, start with that Psalm 139. And then go from there. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family. Persevere. Try to pray every day. It'll help. All right? Godliness. Godliness, another definition, is devotion toward God. Brotherly affection. I see a lot of that here with all of you guys at the feast this last few days. It's really neat to see, which is deep concern for people. And love. How do you express love? Taking action on your friend's behalf, your brother or sister's behalf. Okay? And the final comment that I have today is, and one that I'd like you to think about for the rest of your lives, is spend your time wisely. Before you know it, you're going to be my age, 51, or my dad's age, 79, and it was gone like that. Spend your time wisely. Make good use of your time. Don't spend it foolishly.